right. Luke, the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 24. We're not going to get there right off, but we will, trust me. Luke 24. I got a question for you. Are you traipsing around? Who knows what the word traipse means? Oh, good. This is good. I think Sister Betty knows. I'd say she probably does. I always thought that this was a word my mom just made up. I'd come walking around in my home, and when I was a kid, my mom would say, "You just traipsing through here, and you're traipsing around." And I'm like, "What?" And my wife used it the other day. She was sweeping up some trash there in the kitchen what was it, Camden? I think it was Camden. Oh, she said it was me. I come walking through her trash. I wasn't paying attention. But she said, "You're traipsing through my trash." And I'm like, "They ain't even a word." But actually it is. And I said, "You know what?" I said, "That'll preach." And sure enough, and I spent the whole week trying to put that together, and I'd try to get away from it, and the Lord would bring it back to my mind, traipsing around. Really, it is a real word, and it actually has a real meaning. It means to walk or go aimlessly or idly or without finding or reaching one's goal. Basically, to walk over, tramp, to traipse the fields. Now, go, if you want a good story, and if you want good correlation with anything in life, you got to go to the Bible. And I thought about several places in the Bible that would probably work for it, but they just, none of them just seemed to come to mind. And so I was sitting there praying about it, and I was reading in a whole different scripture in the Old Testament, and then it just, boom, there it was. It's Luke 24. So Luke 24 explains it probably the best, and I believe it's what's wrong with a lot of people today. Not just unbelievers, though. I believe it's believers as well. These guys here had a problem. Verse 13. I'm not going to have you stand today because I'm not sure how I'm going to hit and miss on here. Verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs." Now, to bring you up to par where this story comes in, at Jesus has been taken to trial. Jesus has been beaten. He has been put on the cross. He shed his blood for our sins. And he has died and has been put in the tomb, and that's where we're at. And here these two guys are. They're just meandering along aimlessly. They're traipsing is what they're doing. They're just traipsing along. They're going to a village. It's about 8 miles, northwest of Jerusalem. And they're easing along there. And it says, "And they talked together," verse 14, "of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem?" In other words, hadn't you been here a few days? Don't you understand what has happened? You know, what, you just happen to show up tonight? Fall off the tomato truck or what? You know, they're like, what's the deal? You don't know? And he says, "And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Here they are, they're walking along and they're lost. And I don't mean spiritually, they just don't know what to do now. They had a purpose. Jesus had come. He told them. He said, listen, I'm going to set up my kingdom here. I'm the salvation of Israel. And they're doing great. And then all of a sudden, well, they get arrested. He gets arrested. He's beaten. He's hung on the cross. People laughed at him. They wagged their heads at him and said, oh, you saved everybody else, but you can't save yourself. And then, hey, this stranger, he died. And we thought he was the one. See, verse 21. But we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Oh, we thought this was the Messiah. We thought this was Jesus, the Messiah, that was to come back and set us free from this stinking Roman rule and set up his kingdom. We thought he was it. You know, and you can read between the lines there because of the way that sentence is, but he ain't. He wasn't. He dead and in a grave. Oh, but then they say, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now, why do you think that was important? Yeah, they already had said, we thought he was him. That means they had listened to some of his teaching because he said something about 3 days later, I'm going to come out of the tomb. And they said, hey, this is the third day. And guess what? It says, yea, verse 22, and certain women also of our company, that's the church, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us, in other words, other disciples, went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but they didn't see him. They didn't see Jesus. You see, these guys were discouraged. They had listened to Jesus talk about the kingdom to come. They had listened to Jesus how he was going to take over David's throne. They had listened to Jesus about he was going to be the salvation of the world. And now he's dead. And now it's like, there it is, traipsing along. Might have been kicking a rock or two. You know, they might have even walked by some water and picked up one. You ever skip rock? That's about as useless as you can do anything. But I like doing it. See how many you can get across there? You know, and really that's what they were doing. They had lost their goal. They had lost their purpose. They were like, what are we going to do? You know, there's a lot of people in our world today that they ain't got a purpose. They ain't got a clue. They're just meandering around. We got a lot of them stirring up trouble. It ain't nothing to do with Trump. I'll just be honest with you. It's because they ain't got nothing else to do. They've lost their purpose. They've lost their goal. They're just easing along, and they're looking for something, and they don't even know what they're looking for, and it's Jesus is what they need. Amen. And then we've got believers that they've lost their purpose. They've lost their goal. They know where they should be this morning. They know they ought to be in church, but they've got their goals confused. They want to see the Patriots and the Falcons. Or maybe they would rather go sit in the hillside somewhere and look at God's beautiful creation. When I'm going to tell you something. The church is important. If it wasn't, it would not say in the Bible that Jesus shed his blood for the church. Amen. He died for the church. And if he felt it was important enough to start with his disciples on the seashores of Galilee, and then later that he would die for it, and then later on, the majority of the New Testament is about the church. It's addressed to churches. Let me tell you something. This is where a Christian, a believer, ought to be, and that their purpose ought to be with the church. But you see, they're just meandering around, but there's reason why they are. You know, a lot of them go through life like these two. These two, they said, verse 21, but we trusted that he which should redeem Israel. A lot of people go through life and they say, you know, I prayed about this and I prayed about that and God let me down. God didn't do what I thought he ought to do. Well, think about it. The Bible says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He got more. You know, it's a good thing that the Lord don't leave me in charge sometimes. Really? I can tell you how to stop riots the way they're doing them. All these riots where they're throwing hammers through the windows and bless Starbucks' heart. My daughter's a manager at one of those things out in Michigan. Hey, those people are backing these nuts that are throwing the stuff through their windows. It's like, hey, think about this. Listen, that's a company that backs what you think. But you're trashing out their store? You know, it's like, what? I didn't tell you how to stop it. But we don't want to do that. And I'm not going to say it's the right way. That's why God didn't leave it in me in charge. I'd say go out there and shoot them all. Well, guess what? You won't have any more riots. It'll cease. Because they're like, ooh. You know, we don't want that no more, but that's not the right thing to do. That's why God didn't leave us in charge of how everything ought to be. You know, John and the apostle, before you look at me real mean now, the apostle John and his brother James, sons of Zebedee, they got mad at some people because they didn't accept Jesus. He said, Lord, call fire down like Elijah did and just burn them up. That's why Jesus is in charge. Amen. He got a better way. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But you see, people have problems. They say, well, God let me down. Well, God didn't do this for me. Well, God didn't do that for me. The children of Israel, they wandered around out in the desert for 40 years because they would not listen to God. Well, God didn't give us our land. Yeah, he did. He prepared it for you. But anyway, I'm going to be honest with you what problems are. One, I want you to notice something very important. Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, verse 27 is a very important thing that Christ did for these guys. But not only that, it's important for us. See, that's why the Bible tells us that the scripture is for us. It helps us to have understanding. It helps us to realize purposes. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You see, they weren't relying on God's word. They weren't remembering God's word. They're just meandering along, honestly, feeling sorry for themselves. If they had have been paying attention to God's word, they'd have realized what was going on. But they wasn't paying attention to God's word. And they were confused about things. You see, it said he expounded all these scriptures. He could have just looked at them and said, "Hey, guys, it's me. Hello. You know, I'm Jesus." But he didn't. He wanted them to realize in the scriptures, all, I'm going to tell you something. Every book of the Bible has Jesus in it. Every one of them, if you look for him, he's there. It's all there. The teaching of salvation is all in the Bible. Everything of the Word of God is about Jesus and about salvation and about giving glory to God. See, the scriptures are for our understanding. Psalm 119:15, David said, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Verse 16, he said, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." 104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." But he says, through thy precepts, in other words, through the word of God, I get understanding. 119 and 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, they weren't paying attention to what the word had been telling them. They weren't getting it. They were saying, "I just don't know what we're going to do now. We had Jesus, and man, he was going to jump on these Romans, and he was going to take his place on the throne, and now he's gone." They're just traipsing around. They had lost their purpose. They had lost their goal. But you see, if we want to understand God, do you want to really understand God? Raise your hand. Amen. If you really want to understand God, there's a couple of things you got to do. One of them, we must read His Word. We got to read it. And then, now this is important. Who knows what a cud is? There's a few of country folk do. Cows go out in the morning when it's cool of the day, and they eat the grass, and it's got dew on it, and man, they'll eat that grass. And see, they got like four stomachs. I ain't that lucky. Because if I was, I could probably lose weight because I could do what they do. Later, when it gets hot, they go up and they lay under a shade tree and they go, bleh. They chew their cud. In other words, they pack away their food in one stomach, belch it back up, and they lay there and chew on it later and get all the good nutrients out of it and get everything they need. And they just lay there and they relax. And you see, that's what we need to do with God's Word, not just read it. But then we need to meditate on it. And we need to think about what He told us. 105 is a good one. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen, let's go to work. Well, think about it though. Later, all through the day, think on what you just read. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." In other words, it shines, it shows my feet. Well, that's okay as long as I'm taking baby steps because I can't see nothing else out in front of me. But it also says it's a light unto my path. In other words, it lit up my feet, but it also lights the path so when I'm walking, I don't stumble and fall down. As we concentrate on God's Word and we do like an old cow and chew on it and think about it and get all the good out of it, it starts showing us these things. We start getting some understanding of things. You see, they needed to go back and think about the scriptures, what he expounded on them. He went back, says for Moses, and he's telling them all about how he pulled them out of Egypt. No doubt in there somewhere when he was talking to them, expounding on the word, he told them about the brazen serpent that was raised up on the pole. And when the serpents bit them, they could look to that and live. And that was a picture of him. That was a picture of Jesus being raised on the cross. They would have started remembering all that and saying, oh wow, I know what's going on. You know, you need to read a little bit and think, but while you're doing other things, because look, verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave unto them. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. In other words, we take the word of God and we get it in, take it into our hearts, into our minds, and then we start mulling it over. And we start thinking about it all during the day, and all of a sudden, the way it usually works with me, I'm thinking on a scripture, and when I get somewhere where I can't write it down, like the shower, that's when the thoughts start coming. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not fair. You know, I got to try to remember it, so I say it over and over and over in my head until I can get out of the shower and punch it into my phone or something. You know, or... See, they sat down to eat, and then it started coming to them. They're like, wait a minute. Oh, man, that's Jesus. You see, they started figuring that out. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to believe the scriptures. It's the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is the only absolute truth in this world. Amen. There's a lot of stuff they may say is true. But there's no doubt on the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and trust me, it is true. I'm going to tell you something. The reason that people are all upset over presidents that we've had, all upset over things going on in the world, why in the world did God allow Clinton in office? Why did he allow the Bushes in office? Why did he allow Obama in office? Why did he allow Trump in office? I'm going to tell you something. If you start reading and studying the Word of God, you can put it all together. It says we're going to go downhill. Well, have we not? Oh, big time. And it dates back further than any of us that can remember. But it's all been part of God's plan and God's timing. Can we slow some? Listen, you're not going to change God's plan. God's plan is there's a war in Ezekiel 38. It will happen. And there is a fella that's, because of that war, is going to be the Antichrist. And he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel. That war is going to happen. You're not going to change that. We might slow it down getting here, and we might speed it up getting here, but we ain't going to change it. Listen, for all I know, God may have put Donald Trump in office to speed up getting that war here so we can get out of here. Because he says that we're not going to experience God's wrath. We're out of here. We're gone. We don't have to go through the 7-year tribulation period. Praise the Lord. I ain't going through it. Listen, I'm saved. I know Jesus is my Savior. I have trusted Him. And it don't matter how rotten it gets, I'm out of here. Now, I might get a little bit of persecution between now and then. But I ain't got to worry about God's wrath. I won't be here for that. But you see, the more we study and understand the Word of God, the more it's like, well, why would I be mad about that? It's God's plan. It's His timing. He starts opening their eyes. Number two, they had lost their faith, their hope. What are we going to do? Verse 21, he said, oh, we thought it was Him. They done bypassed Jesus and said, well, we're looking for another one now. No, He was the one, but they had lost that. You see, when we stray from the Word of God, when we get lazy and we don't read, and we get lazy and we don't study on it and meditate on it, there's some things that happen. We start drifting away. Oh, we're not going to lose our salvation. You ain't got to worry about that. That's signed, sealed, delivered. It's a done deal. But we start drifting. And the more we start drifting, the more we start forgetting, and the madder we get over stupid things. All these people out here trashing out everything in protest. I'd be willing to say, out of all those people, there's bound to be one that's a saved, baptized believer. Gotta be. That many people. What are they doing? They drifted away from the word. They ain't listening no more. They can't figure. They're like these two guys. Well, we sure don't want him in there. Why not? Leave it up to God. Listen, it's part of his plan. I'm going to tell you something. They all wonder, how in the world Trump get in office? I'll go ahead and tell you. God put him there. The Bible says nobody goes into offices like that without him allowing it. I didn't like Obama, but I didn't go out beating people up and throwing stuff through the window. I just said, well, I ain't liking what he's doing and why he's there, but you know what? I got to live with it. God put him there. Well, I got to do the same thing now. If that old witch Hillary had won, listen, I'd have had to live with it. I'd have had to been like, well, hey, God put her in there. I don't know, I do know why. More punishment. That's exactly what it was about. See, when you look at Israel, Israel will show you what we're doing. Israel flip-flop back and forth. Boy, one day they all loved God, and the next day they didn't. One day they loved God, and the next day they didn't. God says, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm sick of it. He turned them over to Babylon. Well, he's done the same thing through the United States all these years. You get this one president, everybody loves him, yeah, he's going good, and the country's prospering. And then all of a sudden they get stupid and they start going more and more and more down into sin and more into sin. He said, well, you like that, huh? Well, here, let me give you one to help you. And that's what he does. And it's been that way, just flip-flop back and forth. But we don't need to worry about it. Listen, God's got it. What we need to do is quit traipsing around, because, listen, we can lose a blessing. You see, in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, the Bible talks about the children of Israel. And he said, listen, you get an evil heart of unbelief. We can get an evil heart of unbelief if we drift from the Scriptures. We get to where we're not reading the Scriptures. We get to where we're not studying the Scriptures. We'll get an evil heart of unbelief. Well, I just ain't sure God wanted that done at all. Listen, trust me, if God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen. But we get that evil of thing in our hearts of unbelief and our faith, and we start drifting away from God, and it causes a problem. 1 Timothy 5:12 tells us, having damnation, now that's not losing one's salvation. That's getting mixed up in sin and dying from it. Because they have cast off their first faith. In other words, tired of church, I'm tired of the Bible, I'm tired of God, he ain't doing what I think he ought to do. And they get further and further away. And it says in verse 13 of Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 5, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies. In other words, what's an idle mind? My mom always told me it's the devil's workshop. It is. You go get idle. Ask King David what getting idle will get you. He caused him lots of problems. You see, that's what happens when we drift away from the Word of God. We end up traipsing around with no purpose. But you know what? We do have a purpose. Turn over to Matthew and we're going to be done. Chapter 5. If you want to know a purpose, if you want to know what God wants in your life, search the Scriptures. That's why Jesus opened the Scriptures to them. And the more he opens the Scriptures to us, the more we look at it, the more he gives us understanding, and the more he sees in our hearts that we want to know. We want to know more about the end times. We want to know more of what's coming. We want to know more of why this is taking place and why is this taking place. Listen, he'll start opening your understanding to it. Man, there's things I understand now that years ago I didn't have a clue. And it's always been right there. And I've read it and read it and read it. And it's like, well, it don't make no sense to me. But that close relationship I get with the Lord, and the more I study the Scriptures, the more He sees that, hey, I want to know. I want to understand why God allows things to happen. And the more we do that, the more we dig, the more God will open our eyes. But here is our main purpose in life. You are the salt, verse 13 of Matthew 5. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You know, salt loses its savor, and you throw it out on the roadway, and that's what they used. Back then, they'd throw their salt out on the roadways and they'd cover their highway, their roadways with it and walk on it. And the donkeys would walk on it and the wagons. And he's telling us, listen, we're the salt of the earth. Salt's good. I like salt. I had salt on my egg this morning. My wife thinks I put too much. I don't. I told her, I said, you can't get too much salt. Salt's good for you. Now, I don't mean go home and eat a whole shaker, Brother Jose. You got to be sensible. Kind of like preachers. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, look, he said, when you're feeding the flock, you don't give them a whole bin of grain at one sermon. He said, you got to spread it out. He said, they'll get sick. You know, kind of like cows and sheep. You don't give them a whole bin of grain because they'll get sick. You got to give them a little bit. But you see, we're salt. And listen, they think they want rid of us. The world does. They think, wish these Christians were out of the way. But I'm going to tell you something. Once we're gone, they'll be, wish they were back. Because we're the salt of the earth. We're what keeps the earth the way it is. We're the savor of it. We're that flavor, that good stuff that makes it taste good. But that's why we got to be careful. We don't want to lose our savor because we become good for nothing. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, years ago when I was trucking, man, I'd be going across Texas or places like that, and you'd look far, 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 and you'll see a city. Man, I could see the lights for miles. And I'm like, I'll get something to eat there. It's 3 hours before I got there. You know, by that time, I was really hungry. I'd eat whatever they had. But you know what? That's what we're to be. We're to be a light to the world. That's our purpose. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick so it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, that's what we're supposed to do. Not just meander around wondering, what are we going to do? No. Look for your purpose. He'll give it to you. One of our main purposes is to be salt. To be light to this world. Because listen, they don't have these people that are wandering around aimlessly, traipsing around all over the place with no purpose. It's because they don't understand. But we can give them understanding because we got it right here. Amen. You know, if you understand this word, you're smarter than any rocket science ever thought about being. They say, and I believe it, you could take somebody and dump them out on an island, never give them no more news, never let them read anything other than the Bible, and they'll know more about the future than anybody here ever dreamed of. They can tell you how everything's going to go. And it's true. As we read the Bible, we get understanding. The Lord starts opening our eyes to it. But we got to want it. But you see, that's what they were missing. They were missing the scriptures in their life. They needed to reflect back on what they understood already and what they knew. And they'd have realized, hey, that's Jesus walking with us. We didn't have to worry about him not being here. And they'd also understood that, guess what? It ain't going to happen right now. He's got to go back to heaven. And then he'll come back. And then the millennium kingdom will come to be. But they weren't reflecting back on that. Because see, it teaches all that in the Old Testament. Teaches every bit of it. And the more we stick with this, the more faith we got. You see, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we build our faith. That's why they didn't have the faith they should, because they weren't reflecting on the scriptures and they weren't sticking with it. They're letting their worries and all the cares of this life drown it out. Let's stand. Sister Judy, if you'll come forward, we'll have an invitation.